Be the first to be notified of our latest streamings by subscribing to our YouTube channel, Word of Faith Ministries. Don't forget to like, comment, and share.
Word of Faith Ministries, establishing the kingdom of God and changing lives with the message of faith and the grace of Jesus Christ with a practical, biblical, and balanced teaching you can trust.
Father, we love you. We give you the thanks. We bless you, Lord. We give you glory and honor, Lord. Thank you that you help us. We ask for your anointing tonight to speak and to teach. And thank you that every single one of us receives the instruction from your word. Thank you that you reveal and teach to us. Hallelujah. In the name of the Lord Jesus. Amen. Glory to God. Now, last time that we were together, we were speaking on the old path or the ancient path. And we saw what that ancient path had to do now. So now we're going to see how the ancient path is a sure path to the blessing. Now, do you remember what that ancient path is in a simple way? The ancient path, easy. An easy way of putting it is simply repentance. It means repentance. Talking about repentance. Now, what does repentance mean? Changing your way of thinking. That's what repentance means. Repentance is not, repent, sinner, and that's it. And they scare you with something. If the rapture comes, you're going to stay. Or judgment will come against you from God, or God will punish you. And the people just change for a while or for a time. But genuine, true repentance comes from changing your way of thinking. Now, how do you change your way of thinking? With the Word of God. An example of this. Help me, Lord. I was going to give an example to be practical. You know how the Word of God, you know how you'll never forget the Word of God? When you practice it. When you live it. You won't forget it. What's written? When you live the word, when you practice the word, you will never forget it. Amen. It's a lifestyle. Repentance simply means, now I'm going to say it again, repentance has to do with truly seeing what the word of God says, believing what the word of God says, and acting on what the Word of God said. One of the confessions that I recommend you do is, I am a doer of the Word of God. Just as you confess, I am the same righteousness in Christ Jesus. It's the same. I am a doer of the Word of God. I am a doer of the Word of God. The one who acts on this Word. The one who is constantly being put in your heart, but you decide to do it, regardless that in the moment you make a mistake. Or, I should not have said that, or I should not have acted this way, Lord. I repent of this. Forgive me. But glory to God, you continue. But you're constantly evaluating yourself. We've learned that it's not so that God can love us more or less. It has nothing to do with it. It has to do with the results here on this earth, with what you will receive. Amen. That's what it has to do with. Now, why did I start out saying this? Well, years ago, I knew a pastor who was in a traditional teaching, which involves believing that God punishes you, that God teaches you lessons with illnesses, which is what I preach against. this was years ago, close to 2005, when I still lived in Phoenix. And I lent him some of my cassettes, some cassettes from my pastor, from my mentors in the faith as well, although, and so in Spanish. And he, since he spoke English, gave him some of those in those in English as well. But through a family member, he told me, hey, you know what? He's going to another extreme. And now he started speaking on what I was speaking against, of the false message of grace, a false message of prosperity. There are people who go to an extreme of not preaching no longer biblical prosperity, but materialism. You understand what that is? There's a difference between biblical prosperity and materialism. Materialism is when people just want to have things and have more things and saying, I am blessed, although they're in debt. And just according to them, they testify, but in reality, they're just showing off. When is it true prosperity then? When that person, the more they have, the more humble they are. And humble doesn't just mean of serving God, but their way of speaking, their way of acting, the way of directing themselves with people. How do you direct yourself towards other people? Are you a pretentious person, or are you a humble person? Amen. Biblical prosperity has to do always with you in your heart. How you're hearing from God. How can I be a greater blessing? How can I give more in the kingdom of God? Now, there are people who say, how can I give more? And they say, how can I give more? But sometimes, there are some people who do it more to show off with us, I gave so much in this year. And you throw everything to waste. So we were there in Jeremiah. Another thing I should say, thank you, Lord. I'm going to finish what I was saying. So this pastor started going to other extremes, preaching other things. And it didn't go so well for him and his family and his church. So later, now I found him and we were talking. And between many things he told me was, no, that about prosperity didn't work for me, Brother Hughes. Praise the Lord that it did for you, but it didn't for me. Prosperity and faith. So we had a good talk sitting down. And I said, it wasn't that, brother. It was this. You went to the other extreme. You started saying other things that were contrary to the word. But he told me this. I went back to the old path. I don't know in that time of when I was talking with him. I think it was around 2010. 2011, and I don't remember, but a very famous singer, perhaps later after, he created some songs, and he called it the old path or the ancient path, and those hymns that we call them, those older style songs, which we call hymns. So there are people who have the idea that going back to the ancient path means going back to religion, going back to that traditional religious teaching, but it has nothing to do with it. So then how do I know, and how do you know then, that it's talking about that, of repentance? The context is where the revelation is at, of what we studied. So, we stayed in Jeremiah 6. And we're going to continue reading from where we left off. Jeremiah 6, verse 16. Thus says the Lord, stand in the ways and see, and as for the old paths, where the good way is, and walk in it. But notice how it says the old paths, plural tense here. But if you want to see it that way, the old path is referring to changing your way of thinking of repentance. And that will take you then, what else did I tell you? It's very important that you understand this, because this is the only part where it speaks of the old path or the ancient paths, which is in Jeremiah. Exactly. Someone said, what was it? With integrity. Integrity. But no, notice well, what or who will give you that integrity? First, it's repentance, changing your way of thinking. When you change your way of thinking, then you start having that relationship with God. Where was the first time that there was a path or a way? I took you to Genesis chapter 3. I don't remember if I read all of it, but that's the bad part when you don't teach by notes. I admire Nubia and many preachers like Fred Price who could, they were very precise with notes. I lose my way with notes, and I do my best. But unfortunately, where did I say that it was? But we did reach verse 8. We did reach verse 8, okay. Where it says, and they heard the voice of the Lord God walking in the garden. Okay, yes, thank you. Yes. In the cool of the day, Adam and his wife hid themselves in the presence of the Lord. Because here, that relationship had been broken. But when the Lord said, and they heard the sound of the Lord walking in the cool of the day, this was a custom that they had with the Lord. But in that moment, it had been broken because now man had delivered that dominion to Satan. Now let's go back to Jeremiah chapter 6. What are the old paths or the ancient path? It has to do with repentance. What does repentance mean? Changing your way of thinking. How will you change it? With the word of God. One more time. What is the old path or the ancient paths? First of all, it has to do with repentance. You can see it here in its context that the Lord, actually, if you read the first 5 chapters of Jeremiah, the Lord was talking to the people to repent. Well, are we following along? So repentance will take you to what? To what? Yes, yes. That's repentance. Changing your way of thinking. To make changes, yes. But that's repentance. I mentioned another thing. Will leave you to what? Integrity. To walk in integrity. What does integrity mean? It means the quality of being whole. For example, a person who constantly lies is not a holy person, integral person. Amen. Why would you have to lie? It's because people then get offended. Well, it all depends on how you say it. You can tell the truth in love and use the best tone of voice and use your best English or Spanish. And saying the truth, I'll tell you right now, because some of you for years have said, it's because I'm very honest and I tell the truth. Telling the truth doesn't mean to whip the people, figuratively speaking. Doesn't mean screaming at them, making fun of them, or using profane words. You can be honest in the love of God and modulate your tone and find the correct words, but still saying the truth. Amen. Now, again, continuing. Verse 16. And walk in it, then you will find rest for your souls. But they said, we will not walk in it. We will not walk in it. What does that mean? They didn't repent. No, they did not change their way of thinking. We will not walk in it. They did not repent, not changing their way of thinking. Glory to God. If you see that they're putting verses in English and Spanish, it's for benefit of our ministry in English. That way it stays edited. Actually, on Sunday, I'll be showing you on a letter that was written to us from Indonesia of people who were ex-Muslims and converted to the Lord. Glory to God. And in many countries, Muslim countries, they speak English as well. They were influenced through England, so they speak English. and they sometimes listen to us there in those English-speaking areas. And some people are following us in different countries, in English and in Spanish as well, in Spain and here in the United States and in Latin America. We will not walk in it. Verse 17. Glory to God. Now here, you're going to have to be very patient with me if you want to learn. If you truly want to learn of the Word, then be very patient. Notice how it says here, verse 17. Also, I set watchmen over you. Also, I set watchmen over you, saying, listen to the sound of the trumpet. But they said, we will not listen. Verse 16, it said, we will not walk in it. Verse 17, we will not listen. Now, before continuing, what is a watchman? Before telling you what it is, or what it specifically means, King James here, in the Spanish version, although it's a person, it speaks of a person, but here it should have been a verb. Although you may not believe it, in Spanish, the word can be referred to a verb or a noun of a person, man or woman. Here, if translated as well, also I set watchmen over you, saying, right there, that's a verb. In the Hebrew, it was two verbs here. It was here to watch over. We'll observe it right now, to watch over. It could have been translated this way better in the Hebrew. Also, I set over you people who will watch over you and say. So, let's go to the first part here, because I had to work very closely with multimedia to be in sync with them. So let's see first, what's the first one, Erica, that I gave you? The verb, correct? Okay, to watch over. Now, look at the screen. To watch over. To search the countryside or the sea, to observe or spy. To search the countryside or the sea from a watchtower or height. There we go. To give notice of what is discovered. Also means to observe or spy on the actions of others. To watch, to observe, to stalk, to spy. And it's very similar. Now, the next word now in the Hebrew. To watch over in the Hebrew means to look out, to keep a close watch, to spy, to watch, to observe. That word in the Hebrew. You know how that word is pronounced in the Hebrew? Irrelevant, but I will just tell you. It's kind of like a merkat. It's sfa. That's what that word there means. Sfa. That word there means to look out. I want you to understand this for a moment. Come back to me, please. Thank you. Tell multimedia. You are here. If you're of those Christians who you see everything in the natural, you're not looking towards the outside. The outside would be the spiritual in this case. You understand? You have to look. That's where faith comes in. You have to look towards the outside. You have to look at things in the spiritual, which is where faith operates. The reason why many Christians are conquered over, although Christ won the victory for them. Amen. The reason many Christians walk as they have been conquered, although Christ says we are more than conquerors, it's talking about our position in the Spirit. Yes, no. I don't know. My mentors in the faith taught me differently. And here in this church, I struggle a little bit because you're way too quiet. I don't know if you're understanding or not. When I started studying this, I was, amen, glory to God. The word changes you, but I don't know if you perhaps, I don't know, perhaps we need to think it more over, Brother Hughes. If I'm following along or not. Tell me at least yes, no, ouch, yes, I don't understand or something. To know if we're in sync or not. No? Okay, in other words. If you look at everything in the natural, you're not looking forward. Put me the word in the Hebrew for sva. To look out. In this case means you have to look in the spiritual. If you look at everything in the natural, if you see everything in the natural, the devil will defeat you because that's where the devil works. And although the devil is spiritual, he's a spiritual being. The devil will always defeat you because he will always make you look at the circumstances. But if you maintain yourself in that spirit of faith, and if there's something you see where, oh, well, I'm in faith, but I don't know why this isn't working out, or I'm not seeing the results I want, then there, that's where you have another option. What's the other option? Pray in the spirit and let the Lord direct you. Amen? Well, for example, this happened to me years ago. When Nuvi and I started in the area of giving, man, we sowed and giving was, to this day, was easy. But there were times in years past where there were times where financially we weren't where we should be now. So that was when Brother Hughes sought direction from God. Because I was giving with joy. Because you have to examine yourself. Let's see. I'm joyful? Yes. My God, of course I'm joyful. Giving is not an issue for me. Glory to God. And for Nuvia. So where is it, Lord? So I sought direction from God. And there were times, you know what happened? I wasn't a good administrator of what God was giving me. That was it. But then after, when I would make adjustments, well, you want me to tell you why I wasn't a good administrator? Or a good steward? Thank you. Thank you. Give me 5. I like that. I like it. I like that. Again, because I would let myself be taken by, hey, well, you know what? I'm a faith of prosperity. God will bless me. Do whatever I do. Well, that wasn't true. Because there are principles in the kingdom of God. So I was confessing, I was being obedient. But there was a point in which I was spending more than what I should before the seed came, before the harvest came. But when I saw then that there was a truth in that result, that when I would make changes, there was good results. But here I knew that there was something more. You understand? Because I was seeking from the Lord. So then, years ago, the Lord told me this. He told me this. I want that for me to be the first in everything. You want me to teach you prosperity in a higher level? In higher meant more than just supplying my needs spiritually. It's not just, oh, well, God is supplying my necessities. Material necessities. For example, I don't have food, and glory to God, I had enough to buy a bag of groceries. I didn't have gas, and then I had enough to put $20 in the tank, or $50, and God supplied my need. And that's all fine, glory to God. But I was limited to many people, where they say, oh, well, glory to God, when I retire, I'll have my little car paid off. And then they say this. Have you heard when people say this? Let the world say this, what I'm going to say, but you don't say it. And with that, I don't need anything else. That's a very selfish thought. And the kingdom. There we go. Thank you, sister. And what about the kingdom? Yeah, man, you came very sharp today. That's how everyone should come. What about the kingdom? So just me? Just thinking in you and in your knee? And that's more than enough. Just my house, my little car, and that's it. Why would I want more? You know why? Because there are other people. And what about the kingdom of God? How am I going to reach other countries? How am I going to reach other people? How? And what about the kingdom? So then the Lord told me, look, I'm going to teach you this. I want for me to be first in everything. Where the Bible says that he has the first in everything. I don't want to go to every single passage where the Lord took me, because I'm going to go. I'm going to use up too much time. But between the things that he directed me was this. And he told me this as well. Do you want different results? Then don't act like everyone acts. Like all the other people. And I think he involved Christians and people of the world. So I said, that's fine, Lord. Be more specific with me, please. Because I wanted to understand. Forget for a time, for some time. And when the Lord tells you for some time, don't put it to your time. Because for some time, for the Lord, could be 20 years. Because we saw that 20 years in the time of God could be not even a day in the time of God. Do I make myself understood? He said, for some time, forget about you, talking about me. Because then I spoke with Nubia. Remember that we spoke about this, Nubia? My children were much smaller. Forget about vacations. Forget about excessive spending. Don't fall into debt. And that's when he directed me to you put your money, invest in your children. In the kingdom and your children. Forget about everything else. Don't let yourself be pressured by anyone. And I did it. And the results were marvelous. Marvelous. And the Lord has still not finished with me. I'll explain that later. When the time is right, I'll tell you. Remember that we were speaking about a Thursday evening and we were talking about the ancient path? I'll leave it here for now. But the results have been marvelous. Because seed in the kingdom will always bring harvest. Because if something isn't right, it's us. Because society in general, the world, family, etc., will pressure you that you have to be like them. It was when the Lord started teaching me of having a relationship, of enjoying His presence, having peace of what God has given me. Because I would hear Christians say, oh, it's because I get choked up at home. Because, oh man, I have to go out. Because vacations and the festive weekends. And I have to go here. I have to go over here. Family, this. And I would ask, well, so strange, because you don't have peace at home with what you have. And the majority of the people thought or think that I am the weird one, that I'm boring because I don't like to go out. I do go out. But I enjoy more of the Lord, of His presence. And God has helped us financially in areas, in things that where it's surprising right now, and still later it will be more surprising. You understand? If you don't understand me, we'll leave it there, because I can't tell you more. And I was able to teach people, just a few, and tell them, look, this is what's going to happen if you do this, if you have your heart in the kingdom of God. But why don't I tell everyone? Because look, I'll give you an example. Can I use you as an example, sister? It'll be a... I'll use an example. If I see... Remember, it's not like this. Don't go with her trying to make fun of her. It's a hypothetical. But if I see that she's a person who's just spending and spending and isn't wise, why do you think then that I would have to help her financially or give her my secrets? Do I have to? No, I don't have to. No, she's not capable of it. It's an example. Don't say, Claudia, please repent. It means that she's not capable. Their kingdom, their laws of the kingdom. Remember that the Bible says that God wants us blessed in all areas, that we can help the one that is in need. But you have to be directed, because if you see, there are millions of people who have need. So who are you going to help? Everyone? If you help everyone, later you're going to be just as poor as they are, because you won't have enough money. You understand? Are you learning? No. I liked it because that little girl over there told me. Sammy over here told me. Pastor said that it was going to be very boring, but it was very interesting. It's because you like studying. Because biblical study is sometimes boring. But unfortunately, you have a pastor who's a teacher, unfortunately. Because I've been in churches where the pastor is not a teacher. He's a preacher only. But you had, unfortunately, the bad part that I'm a teacher and sometimes I'm boring, I know. But it's very important if you understand. Look, the word here, to watch over, as we saw, now we're going to put the watchman, or apologies, the object here, the watchtower. And these notes is what I put, where it says object, thing, or place. Watchtower, tower commonly built in a higher place. To survey the countryside or the sea and give notice of what is discovered. Have you seen it in those movies where on seasides there's this tower with a lighthouse? Yeah, a lighthouse. That would be a watchtower. Now put the definition. Height from which a large area of land or sea can be discovered. Again, an object, thing, or a place. Actually, a watchtower could be said if you're up on the mountains and you get up to a mountain to see the panorama, you can see, I'm going to get up on that rock to use it as a watchtower. Now, of course, the common person will not understand. You think, oh, what? You have to say, I'm going to get up on that rock to look at everything. But if you want to use the correct words, well, sometimes people won't understand you. It's like talking Russian or Chinese to them. Now, again, height from which a large area of land or sea can be discovered. You know what your watchtower is then? It's the time, your place in which you pray, where you seek from God. That's your watchtower. Are you understanding? It's where you have a specific place where you pray. Where is it? Your sofa, your bathroom, your bedroom. And perhaps an office. There are people who literally, they go inside of a closet with just a little light. That's fine. Whatever it is, where you have privacy. That's your watchtower. But the Bible also speaks of a watchman as the person. In English, when it's referring to an object, they call it a watchtower. Watchtower. But in English, the person would be the watchman if it was translated specifically from Spanish. That's what we are. That's what we were called to. One more time, put it up there, please. Speaking of the person, we saw the watchtower, the thing. Now we're seeing the watchman. A person registered to watch over what is discovered, a person who watch with care or inquires to see what is going on around them. Now don't lose your spot there in Jeremiah. Go to chapter 14, please. No, chapter 16 of John. John, chapter 16. If you go to the old path, your life will be changed for good. The body of Christ needs these things. The body of Christ needs to give honor to God. Did I give you the verse? Now, before we're looking at the verse, listen to what I'm going to tell you. Did you know that here in the United States, voting day is the first Tuesday of November? You know why? You know why is it always on a 4 or a 5? It's the first Tuesday? You don't know? There's a reason, a specific reason. And this has been established for years. You know why? Why do other countries do it on a Sunday, but this country doesn't? The reason is because on Sunday, in this country, it's the value has been lost, but back then, it's the day of the Lord. It's the day that the people would go to church. 40, 50 years ago, it was rare to see a person in the street on a Sunday morning, be it Catholic, Protestant, whatever. The internet has changed it. People have become lazy. And there's no honor. There's no more integrity. That's the reason that in this country, voting to this day is on a Tuesday. You didn't know that, did you? It's there in history. And there are countries that have it on Sunday because for them it's never been important. The day of the Lord, the day of reunion in the churches. Some countries, they themselves say that they are a, thank you. How do you say that in English when you refer a woke country? Referring to layman is the person. But a laico country is a person without religion, or they even say in their constitution that they're that. The Spanish word is laico. Amen. That's all I'm going to say. How do you know that that's all I'm going to say? I'm not going to say names. But you can see the results. Secular. Okay, a secular. Secular country. And there are other countries that claim to be Christians, but their fruits are not like before. But there can be change. How many of you know that there can be change? But that change takes a while, which is why the body of Christ here should be focused on the Word of God. In the Word of God. Now, John 16:13. However, when he, the Spirit of truth, has come, he will guide you into all truth. For he will not speak on his own authority, but whatever he hears, he will speak, and he will tell you things to come. There are things, brothers and sisters, that should not be a surprise to us. If you sought more from the Lord, you will be surprised of things that the Lord will reveal to you. I'm not talking about gossip of other people. Amen? I'm talking about you or the plans that God has for you and your life. Now, the Lord revealed to this. He said, told me the system will change. So when my children were younger, I took them out of that system. You know what system I'm referring to, correct? And I started investing in them. So when the world was doing this and this and getting in debt, buying this and that, and falling into more debt, because when you buy something new, home, a car, and you don't end up paying it, not even yours, and that's very dangerous. That's why we should hear and listen and be thankful with what we have in that level and not let anyone else pressure you of prosperity or this or that. Yes, believe for in God, but you will know when you're leveling up. I believe in prosperity, but not using prosperity to in debt and to show off to whom, or I don't know, to show it off to who that we believe in prosperity or that I'm of faith. But who do I have to show it off to? No one. Amen. Now go there, go back to Jeremiah 6. It's been so good, I haven't been able to get out of there. Jeremiah 6:17. But in this case, brothers and sisters, remember how last time we spoke of prophets, of pastors, of priests, who remembers? When we were in our last session. Now in 6:13, just a review of what we spoke of. Because from the least of them, even to the greatest of them, everyone is given to covetousness, and from the prophet even to the priest, even everyone deals falsely. Talking about here of false prophets who were not speaking the truth. And actually, in our last session, we signed Jeremiah 6:15. Or 6:13. Now, Jeremiah 6:17. Also, I set watchmen over you, saying, now here it is talking about people in the body of Christ who have spoken, who have given warning through the Spirit of God, the things that will come. They could be prophets, true prophets. They could be pastors. They could be teachers, whatever of the five gifts of the ministry. That the times will change, that although a nation can have good elections per se, and there is a change for a period of time. 2 years, 4 years, 6 years, all depends on the period in which the governor is there. And then later, what? Do I explain myself? Here's the solution. The times in general will always get worse. The world will go farther and farther into the perverse. I remember watching on television, be it a TV series or a movie, you wouldn't hear a single word, single bad word. Nowadays, curse words are spoken, wow, as if they were normal, even in songs. And if you think that it's normal that you have to deal with it and listen to that, you're very wrong. Those words are poisoning you on the inside. I know that sometimes when you're on the street or you go into a store or someone's home, you can't avoid it. But bringing it to your own house? And you think that, oh, nothing's going to happen just because, you know, they say the F word or something like that. That's what you think. Those words, the devil will use them. And they will start drying you up spiritually. Which is why it's very important that you fight against and put enough seriousness, not just in the words that are being put in your home through your television on the internet, but also the same words that you are speaking. Seems as if nothing happens, but everything happens. Devil likes it. That you don't even realize it. Because words are seeds, and suddenly you didn't even realize why that illness came, why that disgrace came to you, why that situation came. What happened? And you can be deceived just thinking that it was an attack of the devil. And it's true, there are attacks of the devil. The devil will come against you and attack you. But you have to know to discern when it was an attack of the devil just to discourage you, or something that happened because it was sown from your soul. Amen. Now, how many of you know that I'm teaching, not just condemning people? Because perhaps here, the Holy Spirit will tell you, hey, change this. Verse 17, also I set watchmen over you saying, listen to the sound of the trumpet. But they said, we will not listen. You know what series I recommend you listen to again? Do we have it on our website or on our YouTube channel? Their YouTube channel in multimedia of apostasy? Yes, we do. Okay. I recommend that you listen to it. Therefore, hear, you nations, and know, O congregation, verse 18, what is among them. 19, hear, O earth. O earth means the nations or the people. Behold, I will certainly bring calamity on this people, the fruit of their thoughts. Hear, O earth. Hear the Lord speaking through Prophet Jeremiah. Behold, I will certainly bring calamity on this people, the fruit of their thoughts, because they have not heeded my words, nor my law, but rejected it. Rejecting or hating the word. Remember how we read in our last session, verse 10 in the same chapter that we're in? To whom shall I speak and give warning, that they may hear? Indeed, their ear is uncircumcised, and they cannot give heed. Behold, the word of the Lord is a reproach to them. They have no delight in it. Verse 10. Verse 19 repeats again that the word was not important. Again, where are those words going to? The F word, the F this, F that. Son of that. Son of that, son of this. Where are those words going to? The deepest part of your thought, of your soul. The deepest parts of your thoughts. Again, we're reading Jeremiah. First covenant, Old Testament. God was executing judgment over them. Now God is not bringing evil to you, but the principle is the same, then the judgment will be executed by Satan. But the principle is the same. Again, going back to your thoughts, go to Proverbs. Proverbs 23, verse 7. It's tremendous because this young man here doesn't speak Spanish. He struggles. Last time he brought a dictionary in Spanish. Now he wants to learn. And he's working. They're in Walmart in where in Dunkin' Donuts. Then he goes to school, and sometimes he arrives late because either he has school or work. And his dad lives in Tucson, and his dad last time said, he went to the service there in Tucson for the first time. And then I went to my suite there to change. And he went to look for me. He said he wanted to talk to me because his son said that he's changing. You see, when someone wants something, you see the difference. And there's a saying that we have in Spanish. What is it? He who wants does more than he who says. So you haven't brought me my croissant tithing. No, I'm kidding. Hallelujah. And I'm not going to give you any, Alan. Glory to God. Give me a croissant, Pastor. Nope. All for me. Now, Proverbs 23, verse 7. Wait, did I say 22? 22? Whoa, some say 22, others 23. Who gives more? 23, verse 7. For as he thinks in his heart, 23:7. For as he thinks in his heart, so is he. So what was the Lord going to bring judgment of those thoughts? As you think, what is the old path about? First of all, repentance. What does repentance mean? Changing your way of thinking. Changing your way of thinking. Changing your thoughts. Second Corinthians 10. Well, Brother Hughes, I have to get worried about something. Have you heard when people have say that? Because I have to worry about something. Really? When the Bible says, do not worry of anything. Do not be anxious of nothing. 2 Corinthians 10, verse 3. I'm going to read from verse 3 to verse 6. For though we walk in the flesh, we do not war according to the flesh. We do not fight against the flesh. There it is. Well, it's because he spoke evil about me. He who does anything to me gets payback. Christians talking like that. Change your way of thinking. What does the Lord say in his word? I bring vengeance. Well, that person spoke bad about me. I'm going to speak bad about them as well. And writing nonsense on social media. And then you try to speak to your friends or your co-workers about the Lord, and they make fun of you. My brothers and sisters, guard your testimony. Remember how we spoke about last time? The name of the Lord is blasphemed due to our cause. Change your way of thinking. Do not give place to the devil. 2 Corinthians 10, verse 3 to 6. You are the same righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. Say with me, that the Lord hears you and your mind. I am the same righteousness of God. Nah, you don't believe it. Too weak. It's weaker than melting jello. One more time. I am the same righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. Amen. I don't know if they were going to hire us for a choir, but it's better. That's what you have to say. Every time that a contrary thought comes and the F word wants to come, you say, no. I am the same righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. Cursing does not come from my mouth. Many years ago, a brother in Christ there in Arizona, in Phoenix, Arizona, had an old car there, and I was teaching him about faith, and he would get mad because, you know, sometimes his car was breaking down or had a flat tire, and this piece of junk, this junk car, and I said, keep cursing it. Start thanking the Lord for what you have, I said, and then be a good administrator of your work, of your money. Again, start buying one tire, then another tire, perhaps second hand, but in a good condition. And then he said, you know, the motors of the cars walk with something that's called oil. Amen. Glory to God. And then cursing the car, can you imagine? For though we walk in the flesh, we do not war according to the flesh. For the weapon of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty in God for pulling down strongholds, casting down arguments. What are those arguments? Thoughts. Casting down thoughts. Those arguments are thoughts, and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God. Bringing every thought into captivity to the obedience of Christ. You see, those thoughts will argue in your head. No, we have to get sick of something, is what your mind is going to say. Or the the devil or people, no, it's not true. We cannot prosper because we're Mexicans, or because of this, or because of the economy, or because, no, you see, you have to go and put the word here. Hallelujah. Verse 6, and being ready to punish all disobedience when your obedience is fulfilled. So punish all disobedience. All disobedience that comes to your mind, punish it. How? With the word. When a thought that is contrary comes of, oh, I have to get sick of something because it's winter. No, in the name of Jesus. By the grace of the Lord, by that stripe of Jesus, I've been healed. I resist all illness. And be bold to say, I will not be sick during this winter. Not a single cold. You see, and here comes that struggle, those thoughts of, and what are the people going to think? If you say it and they see you sick, you see, that's where you have to dominate this and say, I don't care what people think of me, but I'm going to start speaking in faith. Amen. Which is why you have to go back to the old path, when faith was everything for you. When you would believe the Lord for things. When the Lord guided us and we acquired this place, it was a warehouse. There was nothing here. Not a single, that wall wasn't there. You would walk through that door and you'd see everything. It wasn't even connected to the sewage system. There was no electricity. And a small group of people were willing to believe in the Lord and started fixing it. Started changing it. And we paid rent for some time. And right now, we're what? 8 years paying the mortgage now. But I'm believing the Lord that soon everything will be paid off. It would be a great testimony that a 30-year mortgage was paid in much shorter time. But you have to be willing to be bold. That a church of Hispanics without selling a single tamale or selling this or selling that or enchiladas or tacos, by the grace of God, we have taken the word far to other places. And we're in TV and radio in all accessible areas. Hallelujah. Here in Douglas, you know, it's so small. One time I was at a church and, you know, the pastor joking with me was going to give me the spot, and Nubio was with me. And he said, oh, Brother Hughes, I know him for many years. I still was married with Nubia. Well, I knew them when they still weren't married. He still wasn't married to Nubia. And, you know, joking. It's just a not making fun, but just a lighthearted joke. He said, one time I went to Mexico and then I crossed through Agua Prieta and I went through Douglas. And Douglas is so small that I made one blink, and through that one blink, I was already out of Douglas. You know, making fun, you know. It's supposedly you were supposed to laugh, as those who did at church. And well, yeah, that's how it is. When he gave me the spot, he said, well, yeah, that's what it is. Douglas is very small, and that's where God has been good with me and with my family. But it's putting this, brothers and sisters. Notice here, then, I'm going to start closing with this. Go to Jeremiah 6. One more verse. Isaiah 56. Verse 3 and 4. You have to go back to that time when God was first, not the circumstances, not problems or issues. 26:3, you will keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on you because he trusts in you. So fill your mind and your heart and your thoughts with the word of God. Verse 4, the verse that continues, trust in the Lord forever. For in Yah or Yahweh, the Lord is everlasting strength. And you say, yes, I trust in God. Not true, because you don't guard your thoughts. 3 and 4 are joined. How can you say you trust in God and you don't keep your thoughts? You don't guard your thoughts. I'm going to share a story with you. I don't like saying tell a story. I feel like some sort of fable. I'm gonna share a true story, a testimony speaking about this, guarding your thoughts. One day, my pastor, who was in heaven, had already ordained me, and for me, that certificate that he gave me was enough for me, and I didn't need more. But my pastor was under another much bigger organization, and he wanted me to also be there. You know, I said, Pastor, you know, truly, with you, I don't need anything else. I mean, the certificate is enough for me. I said, no, but you know, being with them is a higher category, and they're bigger, and they reach more people around the world. And you know, I just interested being with my pastor. But you know, I submitted. I said, that's fine, Pastor, I'll submit. So in 2005, in November, I was also ordained with that organization there in the church of my pastor. But in that time, 2005, was it in 2005 or 2000? When did we enter here, Sister Maria? In November 2006, we were here, and it wasn't as fixed up as it is now. It was still cement and just a few plastic chairs. It had to be in 2000. When was it? Well, I don't even remember now. Well, anyways, we rented a home on 5th Street between 5th, B, and C Avenue. Who knows Silvia Hurtado here in Douglas? I was speaking with her another time when I saw her here. A very kind person would rent us the home there. Her and her mom, very kind people. A home that's between 5th Street, B, and C Avenue, between two houses. There are very small homes. But we were putting all our faith here, and all the cash here as well, that there could have electricity. We spent a lot of money. And for a time, we started fixing this place up. And those who were the owners here said, we're not going to charge you for 3 months, but after 3 months we will. And we were already, you know, saving it up. And Sister Rosabelta Morales from Agua Prieta, very, very kind person as well. I think she passed some time ago. I had already told her that we were going to move because she rented the spot here that was on 11th and G Avenue, where my son used to go to karate. And she said, oh, you would call me Reverend. And I asked her, no, please don't call me Reverend, please. Well, that's fine, Reverend. Because, you know, she was a very kind, educated person. So when we came here, we were spending all money, all our faith, radio that we were in at the time. And one day, Sister Gonzalez came, helped us with the finances at the time. And she said, Pastor, well, I don't know how we're going to do it because I pay you because we already started paying rent here and then putting money, paying radio. I said, my God, or I pay you, you know, a salary. And I said, no, you pay what we owe. And I didn't have anything at the time. And I had to go to Tucson. And I thought, if I said, you know what, Pastor, don't ordain me. Don't ordain me. You know, they were waiting for me over there. And it was on a Friday evening. And Numi and I started praying in other tongues. And we started praying in the Spirit. And the Lord told me, prepare your luggage. I said, well, the Lord told us so. We prepared our luggage, but we didn't even have enough to load gas. Not even gas. We're going to put our luggage. And then the door, the door had the main door, and then it had the security door. And we were looking out there, you know, just waiting for the Lord to tell us leave. Or, well, it had to be the gift to make miracles for that the gas could last us, because we barely even had the tank, barely arriving with the smell of gas. And in that moment, I heard some steps, because there was gravel back over there on the entrance, and I heard some steps, and I said, "Oh, someone's coming." Old Nubia. Remember, you have to hear from God first. We heard from God. Prepare your luggage. It had to be in 2005. If it was in 2005, yeah. Because Nubia wasn't born yet. She was pregnant. We just had Anthony, and Anthony was a year and a couple months. And we didn't even have enough to eat sometimes. So we started praying in tongues, and the Lord told us, prepare your luggage. So we started conversing. Verses, God supplies all our needs in Christ Jesus. And it was already after midday. And we even thought, we had reserved the hotel in a very, those very cheap hotels where instead of giving you a key, they'd give you a big newspaper that every rat that you'd kill, they'd discount something. And you know, I would just think Nubia wouldn't say, and I think Nubia thought the same. We'd just stay looking at each other, just, man, we're going to lose the hotel reservation. That's all we had paid for, I think. I don't even know how. Miracle. The cheapest hotel in Tucson. The ugliest. And then I heard those footsteps after 2 hours of being there. And you know, in 2 hours, you can become desperate. And 2 hours, you can say, if this, if that. And in 2 hours, you can say, you know, I don't know what's going to happen. I'm giving you the example because I'm telling you that it was easy, but back then it was hard to live it in that moment. And we heard footsteps. And we looked out. And a sister of the church came, who 2 weeks before had told me that her husband was trying to sell a car. And the service ended, and she said, pray, because he cannot sell the car. So help me, please, to pray. And we prayed. But, you know, it was right up to there, and I hadn't remembered. And sister came and she said, pastor, the car is sold. And we're very happy, my husband and I. And I come to give you an offering for you. And she told me this. It's for you, because I know that everything that we give you, then you give it at church. It's for you. And I said, amen. I needed it. It wasn't just that. She said, and she said also, and apart from that, congratulations, because they're going to ordain you. I bought you two suits. Apart from that. Thank you very much. Sister and I said, thank you. Because, you know, we wanted to leave now, because now it was going to get late for us. Well, after that, we arrived to the hotel. You know, with the newspaper in hand. We arrived. We changed, we took a shower, and we went with Anthony at the time, very young. And we went to the service. They ordained me. So my pastor said, remember, we had a very, very tight budget. Louis and I thought, well, you know what? Service ends and we could go to a hotel. It seems we perhaps a cooked rat or something. I mean, it's serious. Right now, you see Nubia and I, and it's just, but you don't know how, many of you don't remember how we started from zero, from nothing. And in that moment, my pastor, who was in heaven, said, you know what? All the other ministers who were invited, who came to the conference, because they were very tired, all of them just wanted to go to sleep. my pastor told me. So I'm not going to have to take them to those other pastors, those invited ones, the other ministers that came to the conference. You know what? You know what? They're going to went to sleep. You want to go have dinner? I want to take you to dinner. And me just, you know, I said, well, you know, let me check my agenda, pastor. Amen, pastor. Thank you. It turns out once we were there, he took us to an IHOP. And we were there in that IHOP. We were sitting down. And Nubia and I were facing each other. And, you know, Mama Belen was very, very direct to the things. And she said, hey, and what hotel are you staying? And me, and I just kept talking with my pastor, you know, as if I didn't hear anything. And he told me again. She told me again. And what hotel are you in? And Nubia just turned away, looking down. And I said, hey, you know what, pastor? Oh, things are so good, blah, blah, blah. And then she turned to Nubia and they said, hey, is your husband dumb or something? Is he deaf? I'm going to have to rebuke that deafness. And he told my pastor, hey, rebuke that deafness. And I said, hey, you know what, Sister Belen? Pastor, you know what? It's because I stayed in the hotel. And you know what Mama Belen told me? How do you dare put your wife and your son in that hotel? And I said, it's because, well, pastor, hey, what happened? Why do you arrive at the hotel? And that's when I shared everything. Everything that had happened, we didn't have the money. How this sister ran, and she said, why didn't you call me? And honestly, pastor, I was embarrassed. No, no, don't be embarrassed with me. You know what? Right now, once we finish eating, go get your things out of that hotel. I'm going to call the reservation. And he called the hotel where he had all those invited ministers. All those ministers, the pastors, and I'm going to keep you there in that hotel up until the conference is over so you can go at home. Whew. Glory to God. And then after that, Saturday, after the first session that was, he called me to the office. He said, here. He gave me an envelope. This is for you. I said, what is it, pastor? $500 that you're not without any money. Some of you thinking, why don't those things happen to me? Because you don't give anything. You have to sow in the kingdom. No one gives me anything, someone once told me. Well, you have to sow to reap. And Nubia and I, at that time, we sowed to where, my God, we gave everything, and to this day, glory to God. Which is why I tell you, there are people who are so thankful with this word.
We hope you have enjoyed today's teaching brought to you by Word of Faith Ministries. For more information about our ministry, contact us at 480-458-8618 or visit our website, mpfccc.org.